There's all kinds of stuff going on. Too many things to deal with all at once. But in my day-to-day work, I deal with video. Some of you probably know this. Editing, production, computer technology, all that good stuff. And for the last year, the leaders in the industry and in their tutorials, they've been featuring something called 360 video. And in fact, the editing program that I use has an update that included 360 video features. And I thought to myself, particularly when it first came out, why do I need that? Well, I'm not going to be dealing with 360 video. To the best of my knowledge, that kind of thing was used in gaming. I don't know if any of you kind of know this, but, you know, 360 video is used in gaming. That's all I knew. And the extent of my gaming is Madden football and Tiger Woods golf on my old Xbox. this didn't really mean anything. I certainly wasn't going to be creating videos for gaming systems. So why 360? But then I began to look at some of the tutorials as they kept coming out and it, you know, kept going on. I thought, all right, what is this 360 stuff? Maybe I should be aware of it or at least know what it is. And 360 video is something that I'm telling you is going to shape the future of our entertainment and probably a lot of other areas. You remember the TV ads for, I think it was the Samsung Galaxy S5, 6, 7, whatever phone, whatever the newest one that was coming out, that had a VR pack. This was around Christmas time. You get this VR holiday pack. And in the commercial, the people would get this, like a viewer. Remember the old, what do they call them? Yeah, right. You put the little brown thing in and you click it and you see the pictures. So it's like a viewer. But the people would take the phone, the Galaxy phone, and put it in the viewer, put that on their heads, and hit play, and they were seeing something. And in the commercial, you'd see them react. You know, they'd get scared or something would kind of come at them and they'd jump back or they'd start crying or whatever it was. So this is 360 video, virtual reality. Now, in case you don't know what 360 video is, all right, it's a camera that looks kind of like this. This is not a 360 video camera. This is actually just a simple GoPro. But it's something like this. Actually, it's a little bit bigger, but it's kind of square like this. And what I don't know the exact technology, but it has like cameras all around. And so it films everything in 360 degrees. And then I believe there's a process, once you do that, it's called stitching together. I think you go back in and you stitch the pieces together. But here's what happens, is then the guy on the tutorial was showing this. He took one of the 360 cameras, and he took it on a family vacation, and I think they were on one of those like amusement parks where you're on the water, like it's a big inner tube with seats, and you go down like the, not rapids, but because it's in a park, but that idea. But people sit all around the inner tube, and I think you can even steer it, because there's some kind of a handle thing in the middle. He put the camera in the middle, and he filmed it. And then he went back and he stitched and he put it together. Now, you can buy headsets now, like the one I was just describing, but they're you don't put a phone in it. It's its own thing. It's its own, like, computer. It has a processor, hard drive, and everything, and you load pictures or film on it. You put the headset on, and now you can watch whatever you've created or whatever you've bought or whatever. The thing about this is, when you're watching something that's 360 video, you can turn and see everything that that camera recorded. So in this particular instance, they're on the inner tube. Well, ordinarily, you would only see, you know, whoever was sitting there. But you, as you turn your head, you now see everybody that's on that inner tube and what's happening. It is virtual reality. And I, from what I understand, this headset, that you buy it for $200. $200. I mean, we go out and buy a smart TV now for $500, $600, $700. You can buy a VR headset for $200, as little as $200. And this particular one has been bought by Facebook. But the idea, Facebook has set up now these virtual rooms. So if you put the headset on and you click on Facebook in the headset, and there's like a little remote pointer that you click with, you go into a room and you've created a little avatar for yourself, and you can be in that virtual room with other people that are connected through Facebook in that room, wherever they are. So we are creating a real virtual reality. Technology. And this is the way, I'm sure this is the way we're going to have our entertainment, not just gaming, but watching movies and TV shows and other stuff. I'm sure that we're going to see that soon. What is reality? Something you can see, touch, smell, taste, hear. Our five senses, right? That's one way of describing reality. Webster defines it this way: the quality or state of being real. Don't you love those definitions? What's reality? Quality or state of being real. Okay, what's real? So Webster says what's real is having objective, independent existence. Not artificial, not fraudulent, or illusory, genuine. The Bible defines it this way. If you have your Bible, you can open it to the very first page. Genesis 1:1. I think we all know what that says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on to say the seas, the vegetation, the living creatures, and then man. And then if you jump ahead to Genesis 2 and verse 8, Genesis 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. This garden was a sanctuary from the rest of creation, where God invites humanity to enjoy fellowship and peace with him. He placed man in the garden. God provides everything that humanity needs. And in that garden, there is no understanding of good or evil. There's no sin or death. Faith and obedience are prerequisites for living in that special place of communion with God. That's reality. What God created is reality. Now, somehow, Satan got in there, and he began his corruption of mankind. Jumping ahead to Genesis 3, in the very first verse. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so here, he begins spinning lies and deceit, making it seem like right is wrong and wrong was right. And Adam and Eve bought into it, and in doing so, sent humanity into a new reality, a reality that we now live in. Or is it? Because it is a reality that was caused by a deceiver. Jump ahead to verse 22 in Genesis 3. 22. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." And so mankind was thrust into a cold, harsh, pain-filled, and suffering reality that was anything but what God had originally conceived and created. And this reality began to gradually erode and spiral downward into a depth of sin that became too much for the Lord to countenance. Jump ahead to Genesis 6. A couple of chapters ahead, Genesis 6. And in that time period of about 1,656 years, mankind had become so corrupt that God was sorry that he had made man. Verse 5, Genesis 6, 5. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Skip ahead three verses to verse 11. "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, 'I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" And then, of course, from here, God instructs Noah to build the ark and to take two of every kind of living creature into the ark to preserve a remnant of his creation. And then because of that sin, that original deceit of the devil and man's weakness in body to resist, God found himself compelled to destroy the world and start over with this one man that he had found favor with. And so another reality is created for us. Jumping ahead to Genesis 8, God forges a new covenant with man through Noah. Genesis 8, 20, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. So here we've seen three realities given to us in Scripture. The first is the creation and the placing of Adam and Eve in the garden. And then the second is when Adam and Eve are expelled from the garden because of their sin and Satan's deceit. And then we see God becoming intolerant of man's sin and destroying the earth and setting up a new covenant with mankind through Noah and his descendants. So my question is, can all of these actually be reality? As I see it, these last two are false reality because they were created from the lies of the devil and mankind's sin as we become complicit in those lies. If you jump back to Genesis 3, verse 4, we see that Satan has created a virtual reality out of our sin. The actual reality is God's original intent of us living with him in paradise, in that Garden of Eden. Anything else is a virtual reality. Remember Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. You see, even though we can touch, smell, taste, hear, and see things in this life, it's still a virtual reality created out of our sin and the lies of the enemy. And unless we have Christ and come out of that virtual reality, Satan will keep us blinded from the truth. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians. If you want to go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So while we are still in our sin, we are blinded to God. We're blinded to his mercy, his grace, his salvation. which he provided to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. For those of us who have accepted that Jesus is Lord and Savior, every day seems to be a challenge just to know what God wants from us, how we can go about pleasing him, following his path, knowing which row to plow, trying to stay on the straight and narrow, discerning our own sin from moment to moment, trying to live as Christ did and exhorts us to do. And you know, we like to say that it's so very challenging in this day and age, as if things are harder for us than they ever were before in history. To listen to the media, the scientists, the prognosticators out there, we are the worst of the worst. And mankind hasn't been as bad off as we are in just about every way, except for technology. As I said that, it turned off. I have to turn it back on. Ironically, this technology will probably be the ruin of us, right? But, you know, I'm sure that Noah thought it couldn't get any worse. In fact, it was so bad that God destroyed the world, except for Noah and his family and those animals on the ark. Are we better off today than the world was in the early 40s when 6 million people were exterminated by Hitler and the Nazi regime? And there are others, of course, throughout history, figures and events that speak to our own destruction as a result of our sinful condition as human beings. And as we've just seen, there was Adam and Eve and their fall from grace. Now, maybe that has to be the worst of times. It propelled us into the state that we exist today, sin. And throughout history, mankind has come up with ways to try and explain these things. False gods, religions, stories. Today, movies, television shows, etc., gaming. Now, I must confess that I do enjoy watching these things, and I do get caught up in some of the stories. On the other hand, I like to think that I've come to a place of discernment, to be able to see through these stories and to keep hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be my guide. And when you are able to see through this stuff, you can see the agendas that are at work that keep mankind in the dark. Evolution, the homosexual agenda, the agenda of socialism, the culture of death, the secular humanist agenda. Many of these shows, TV shows and stuff that are being created today, I don't know if you watch any of this stuff, but a lot of them insist on pushing the same-sex union idea. I haven't seen a TV show new that's, you know, coming out that doesn't have a homosexual relationship in it, outwardly. Now, there's one show that I watch. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It has two women together. And actually, the one woman kind of discovers it as the series is going along. So she has this relationship with another woman. And in fact, they get engaged, right? They're going to get married. But they have this conversation. The one woman wants to have children, and the other woman doesn't want to have children. And because of this argument, they end up not getting married. Thank God. but I'm yelling at the television. That's not how it works. You can have that conversation about having children all you want, but that's not how it works. And yet, you can't see how silly that notion is, even to make that statement. And by the way, it's unscientific and unmedical, right? These are lies. Lies that are targeted at the young so that they program them. Remember, it's called TV programming? And it's this programming that keeps us out of that original reality that God created, the Garden of Eden. You see, we live in a virtual reality outside of paradise. Let's just call it The Matrix. Remember that movie? Did y'all see it? 1999 movie, The Matrix. Starring Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, set in the future where mankind has been enslaved by artificial intelligence. And the AIs have taken over. Humans are born into pods that are connected to an artificial intelligence machine that feeds them, and it controls their minds and their experiences and their very existence. The world as they conceive it is not an objective reality, but a computer simulation that machines control and operate. The movie depicts a dystopian future in which reality, as perceived by most humans, is actually a simulated reality called the Matrix. And it's created by sentient machines to subdue the human population. Subdue, enslave. And while they're enslaved, their body and electrical activity are used as an energy source for the machine. Does this sound a little familiar? As we are born into sin, enslaved by the enemy, who feeds off of our sin for his own purposes. As the movie begins, a woman is cornered by police in an abandoned hotel. And after overpowering them with her superhuman abilities, a group of sinister, superhuman, gray, green-suited agents lead the police on a rooftop pursuit. The woman answers a ringing public telephone and vanishes. And then we see a computer programmer, Thomas Anderson, living a double life as a hacker, Neo. And Neo feels something is wrong with the world and is puzzled by repeated online encounters with the cryptic phrase, The Matrix. The woman, Trinity, is her name, contacts him, saying that a man named Morpheus can explain its meaning. However, the agents apprehend Neo and attempt to threaten him into helping them capture the terrorist Morpheus, who offers him a choice. I'm sorry. Undeterred, Neo meets Morpheus, who offers him a choice between a red pill that will show him the truth about the Matrix or a blue pill that will return him to his former life. The exchange goes like this. Morpheus says, "I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?" Neo says, "No." "Why not?" "Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life." Morpheus says, "I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You've felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Neo answers, the Matrix? Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It's all around us. Even now in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you to the truth. Neo says, what truth? Morpheus answers, that you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch, a prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there's no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends, you wake up in your own bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. After swallowing the red pill, Neo's reality disintegrates, and he wakes up in a filled pod, one of countless others, connected by cables to an elaborate electrical system. He's rescued and brought aboard Morpheus' hovercraft, which ironically is called the Nebuchadnezzar. As Neo recuperates, Morpheus explains the truth. In the 21st century, intelligent machines waged war against their human creators. And when the humans blocked the machines' access to solar energy, the machines retaliated by harvesting the humans' bioelectric power. The Matrix is a shared simulation of the world in which the minds of the harvested humans are trapped and pacified. All free humans live in Zion, the last refuge in the real world. The more I watch that movie, and by the way, if you watch all three, you really see the Christ image come completion. And I'm not saying that these guys wrote these movies as any kind of Christian witness, but what I am saying is when you watch these, you can see the same things that we see. As Christians, we are pulled out of that matrix by our faith in Christ. Christ essentially being the red pill. We take the red pill, which is Christ, and we're pulled out of that matrix. And now you can see clearly the devil's disguise, the trappings. When we submit to and accept the Lord and Savior, we're awakened from our slumber. And we can see the difference between the reality that we've been living in, and we can see the real world that was created by God. Turn to John 15 in your Bibles. John 15 in verse 18. This touches on something, a phrase that we hear and kind of say all the time, but here's kind of where we can find the idea in Scripture. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. If you're still plugged into the matrix, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So we are to be in the world and not of the world. We are to be in Christ and not of Satan. We need to take that red pill take that red pill, Jesus Christ, and allow him to pull us out of the matrix that's been created by the devil and his minions. It was a leap of faith by Neo in the movie. Morpheus is sitting in front of him and said, red pill, blue pill, go back to, you know, your own world and don't ask any questions, or take the red pill and find out the truth. And in that instance, Neo had to take a leap of faith to find out the truth. It's the same for us. We have that same choice, friends. Do nothing and remain asleep, dead in your sins, and ask no questions, or grab onto the gift that has been freely given by God. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, who descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body? Do you believe in the life everlasting? If so, you will be pulled out of the matrix. That simulated computer program, that virtual reality, and you will be able to see the truth and reside in actual reality for eternity. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to see the truth, to know the truth, and to one day be reunited with you in paradise, in that garden that you created as our original place of life. Father, I do thank you for technology, for what we can do with it. I pray that you keep us ever watchful over the technology. And of course, movies are fiction and these are fantasies, but we can see where that technology led the people in that movie, The Matrix, where the technology took over. And so guard us against that. But let us be able to use these tools, Lord, for your glory. Father, I pray for those here in your house, Lord. I pray for those that are watching or listening. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one would recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That through faith in him, they would be pulled out of the devil's disguise, Lord. That we would see the world for what it is, and that we would come out of that world. That we would live amongst people, as Jesus did, Lord, but not give in to the temptations of the world. Father, as we go out from this place today, I pray that you would put people in our paths that we might witness to, that we might be able to, as Morpheus did, offer the red pill or the blue pill, Lord.
and that people would take that leap of faith and take the red pill, take Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that we would be reconciled to you. And Father, we pray all of these things through his precious and holy name, Lord. We say, Amen.